as the Lord may be pleased to help me, I would direct you prayerfully to Psalm 61 and reading verse 2. Psalm 61 and verse 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The events of the past day, as you know in our journey, some of you, were what we call naturally very frustrating, having gotten their articles of clothing, left them at Albury, and having travelled some 2 hours up toward you, meant we had to return back. And oh, I must say that the devil seemed to get inside me, stir me up. I was tempted whether we should ever venture to come. And yet, last night when I read before our dear one, oh, I felt such repentance. We opened up to read this psalm, and I said, there's the text. And that's how, dear friends, I believe, and some of you younger friends, if the Lord deals with you as sons and daughters, you'll know what it is spiritually, through providential trials, to be at the ends of the earth. You have heard of God. You come and hear the gospel. You read the word of God, I trust. Read religious accounts of men, women. I don't know how far your reading goes, but I know some of you, the older ones, are well read in these things. Put some of us to shame, but in the experience of a true believer, a real Christian, there will be that plea, that cry, as the first verse says, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. These are the words of the psalmist. These are the words that poor sinners will be taught by the Spirit, that their need is God. We have known, oh, solemnly can speak of it, have known our independence of God. And all yet you know, if you're one of the Lord's dear chosen vessels, sure he will deal with you, and you'll be brought into such confusion and shame of face that you will be enforced to cry unto the Most High God. And it will be the experience of the Lord's dear people to the end of their lives here below. There'll be those situations that arise with them that will bring them here. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. And how we get these overwhelming circumstances, whether bodily affliction, whether trying scenes in your studies, in your businesses, in your domestic scenes, in your church matters. There will be the throne of divine grace with the door of mercy that stands open all day to these poor sinners. You see, when the poor and needy seek water and there is none, that's at the ends of the earth. Their tongue faileth for thirst. You're thirsting for something real in God's truth. You're searching for something real in religion. And it's the Lord alone, dear friends, can lead you to this rock, and that rock speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. Leave me not alone. Still support and comfort me. Now, sometimes these situations arise, and you wonder why. Do you not, dear friends? Why should this event take place? Why should this thing happen to me when I've sought the Lord to guide me, govern me, and uphold me, and support me, and sustain me? You know why? Because you have sinned in some way in your life, and the Lord is going to show you that you're a sinner. You may have been half-hearted in your prayers, half-hearted in your religion, half-hearted in your attendance, I would even say, to the means of grace. Half-hearted, yes, dear friends, in our meditation for preaching. Oh, it comes to every office, every sinner, dear friends, saved by grace, will be brought there where they feel to be at the ends of the earth, and then they'll be forced to cry. I've often said, and you may have heard through the relay, that real prayer is crying. You see, the righteous cry. You look through the Word of God and see if it doesn't bear out what we try to speak tonight. I trust under the influence of the Spirit, because my preaching is nothing, dear friends, unless the Spirit's anointed me. And we have a hope after these many years that the Lord has fulfilled His promise thus far. Now, from the end of the earth. And these situations arise that, you know, when we go along smoothly, you know, real religion, and we'll be toiling in rain, we touched on in prayer. You see, the Lord raiseth the stormy. When you read the 107th Psalm at your leisure, and if you don't know something of that, dear friends, well, your religion's a little bit thin, isn't it? But if you know something of it, and I am sure some of you do, and others of you will know it in time if you're the Lord's dear chosen people, you'll be knowing what it is that He raiseth the stormy wind and He makes it a calm as you groan being burdened with your pathway. I cry unto thee when from the end of the earth. So those things that arise in your path and mine, you wonder sometimes where the scene's going to end. But our God is faithful. Know how we do need the Spirit of the Lord to anoint us, don't we, continually, and exercise our souls into being led to this rock. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. That's a religion, isn't it? It's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Other refuge have I none. And when you and I come to the end of life's journey, and oh, how solemn a time that'll be, unless we have that blessed favour and of the knowledge of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Lead me to the rock, Lord. You know the Lord alone is able to deliver you and me from all your fears. And as the second psalm we read, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. Salvation's all grace, you know, not of works. Many will tell you, perhaps in the day, they preach these flimsy truths, don't they? They don't give you the whole counsel of God. And so you see, it's watered down religion. It's a watered down religion. And it won't stand the test, will it? But real religion, and we don't want to pick holes in others, dear friends, but it's only as we're taught by the Spirit, as the Word of God is revealed to us. You see, it's the committing thy way unto the Lord, trusting also in Him and finding Him, bringing to pass. And the Lord will give His dear children evidences. They'll have tokens. They'll pray for deliverance when they're brought into these great straits. And they'll prove the faithfulness of God. And oh, it may not be, as Elijah said, it wasn't in the earthquake, it wasn't in the wind, it wasn't in the rain, was it? It was afterwards. It was a still, small voice. Well, remember, you know, when the Lord, I believe, was a still, small voice to me through His Word, as we had to have an operation. I may have said it before. You'll bear with me. Or how we had to wait upon the Lord, and God was our refuge, and how He calmed our troubled breast. That ninth psalm, how before the operation. We felt calmed, calm amidst tempestuous motion, feeling persuaded that we should be brought through. What a mercy it is that the Lord reigns. And so he says, "I, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee." Those great mountains before you, those mountains of doubts and fears and unbelief, that great, perhaps, Goliath that you've got to meet. Or the Goliaths, you know. Or the Sanballats and the Tobias that want to undermine those things that the Lord has instructed you in, that you feel persuaded will come to pass in your life. And all the Sanballats and the Tobias trying to undermine it and trying to overturn it. Then these things, you know, will cause you and me to cry daily, "I cry unto thee," when my heart is overwhelmed. "Bound down with twice 10,000 ties, oh, let me hear thy call." You want the Lord to speak, don't you? And the Lord, you know, in his mercy does speak. He speaks with authority and he speaks with signs and wonders to his dear chosen people. And this is what leads you and me, doesn't it? The drawing influence of the Spirit. "Draw me and we will run after thee." For Jesus draws the chosen race by that sweet resistless grace and bids them come. The gracious invitations we bless God for in the gospel. He draws you. Something secret. Working in your heart. Something secret that exercises your soul. You can't yet speak of any real religion. You can't yet speak of having a word of God from heaven. There's something secret urging you on. Urging you on in this sense, not to do your own will, but to seek to know and do the will of the Lord. You want the Lord to speak. You want the Lord to guide, direct, and uphold you and support you in this pathway that you hope the Lord is going to own and bless in your life. "Now from the end of the earth will I cry." So these trying scenes, whether it's the events that have befallen you, you see, no thought can fly nor thing can move unknown to him that sits above. And he sits on no precarious throne, neither does the Lord borrow to be. He is the sovereign God. Nor that we had more faith to believe that the eye of the Lord is upon his dear people. The eye of the Lord is upon you and me. He looks upon the heart. And if that heart has had the fallow ground broken up, it'll be prepared. See, there's a secret working in you, preparing your heart for the sowing of the seed of the incorruptible word of life. Now, this sowing of the seed, some, we read of that sower went forth to sow. It's very solemn, isn't it, God's word, when you look into it. Some fell by the wayside, devoured, wasn't it, by the birds of the air, devoured by circumstances. Some fell among thorns. Some fell also upon into good ground. Some fell upon the rocks, and immediately it sprang up. But it was a false foundation, and you know, when the sun was up, it withered. You know, some, when they run into trouble in religion, you know, it proves what the reality of religion they've got, because they soon fall away. But when it's sown into good ground, it will die and it'll abide alone, but then it'll spring up. Oh yes, dear friends, grace can never be hidden. It may for a season, but it can never be hidden. And this is the mercy and favour and love of God to poor sinners, that he causes them to be in these uttermost ends of the earth feelings. And remember this, that Jesus saves unto the uttermost. And when most we need his helping hand, this friend is always near. With heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. So your trying circumstances, those difficulties that you and I encounter in our life, all known to him, all appointed. So I was saying, our trying day yesterday, all appointed by God. Perhaps, dear friends, it was a little leaven to leaven the whole lump. Perhaps it was a little ballast to keep us in that right praying frame, not be lifted up, but to humble us before Almighty God and to prove too that we still have a heart that's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Well, you see, this is a warfare that goes on. This is the warfare of a newborn, regenerated sinner called by grace as an old man of sin. And that old man of sin hangs pretty heavy at times, and especially when there's this, when the wind is contrary and all things seem to be contrary to our plans and our schemes. And so the Lord, you know, he causes you to pass under the rod. He causes things to take place. He causes you to realize that you are very much of the earth earthy. And so it is why there's no perfection in man's plans or schemes, is there here below? And you know, we're looking for perfection sometimes, aren't we? But oh, there's only one perfect work, isn't there? And that's the work of a sovereign grace in a sinner's heart that causes him to cry. You cry daily. And you plead with the Lord in his sovereign mercy, lead me to this rod. Do bind up, Lord, my broken heart. You see, this is it. My heart is overwhelmed, well nigh broke. He rends the heart, a marble of your heart and mine that is by nature stony ground. No feeling, dear friends, no thoughts of eternity, no concern about the immortality of your soul and mine. But when the Lord comes, when he breaks up your schemes and your plans, when he breaks up the fallow ground of your heart, when he takes away that heart of stone and gives you a feeling sense of repentance as a new heart he gives you, so he makes you tender in the fear of God and you plead his righteousness, you plead his mercy, you plead his delivering power. And so when your heart is overwhelmed, you're brought here, aren't you? No help in self I find. Oh, how we need humbling, don't we? We're so full of pride of the flesh, full of self-determination and will to do our own good pleasure. So the Lord deals with you as a son and a daughter, and he causes you, dear friends, to have a broken heart, and then he binds it up in answer to your cries. And you cry unto the Lord, the Most High God, and you pray, Lord, reveal thyself to me and say unto my soul, I am thy salvation, and tell me, Lord, this is not in anger. This is not in anger, but in thy dear covenant love. Oh, what confession one felt last night to have in prayer before God. I felt a little softening of the heart, friends. And that's something that you would bless God for, because often I fear much of our prayer is in formality. But bless God, I know it's right to venture to meditate upon these things, but sometimes when you're brought into these situations, then you cry, Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, save me for thy mercy's sake. And like Peter said, depart from me, O God, for I am a sinful man. And you wonder that the Lord ever condescends to come again and send you an answer. But you see, David by experience could say this, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Now the enemy of our souls is Satan. And Satan will sometimes lull you to sleep, won't he? Satan will do his utmost to turn a poor tried child of God who wants to believe but has so many other things crowd into his mind that they seem to take away all those desires that he felt he had or she had concerning the welfare of their soul and for this wanting of the hearing of the gospel. Oh, Satan is such a wily, active, powerful foe. And oh, look how he's got the world today, dear friends. Satan's blind slaves by the million, sporting with death, and they die the death of the wicked. Or why has the Lord spared you and me? Is it, dear friends, for a purpose? Is it that he might favour you yet, though feeling in darkness and in bondage? And sometimes some live all their life subject to bondage through the fear of death. My mother was one. But you know, the Lord did save her, I believe. The Lord gave her a living testimony, convinced of her sin at 18 years of age, and still had many doubts and fears through her life. But she knew this, that God was her refuge. And she knew the blood of Christ could cleanse her from her sins. And what a mercy. You see, there's no other refuge. It's at the throne of grace on your knees, pleading, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, that man was in a state, wasn't he? He didn't come up self-assured, self-righteous, and full of pride. He came up dependent. He came up acknowledging his sins. As the hymn writer says here, on my heart the burden lies and past offences pain my eyes. Now the Lord in his sovereign mercy deals with his people like this, doesn't he? That they can have something that enforces them to the throne of divine grace. An affliction, a burden, the fear of the unknown way. Ah, but with Christ in the vessel. Formed in your very heart as the hope of glory, Christ in the vessel, Christ applying his word with power to your soul, comforts you. It's a rock, isn't it? It's a stone of help, and you raise your Ebenezer to his praise. Lead me to the rock. Ah, what a place to be led to, dear friends. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee, let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure, cleanse me from its guilt, from its power. And that's that beautiful language of Top Lady, where he sheltered beneath that rock. You see, that was a living experience that he wrote that hymn by. And we believe the hymn writers have penned those hymns, these wonderful hymns, by experiences, such as dear Top Lady had at that place. Now you and I will be enabled, I believe, to speak ere we die little of the wonders of what the Lord has done for your soul. You're persuaded of it. And so you look to him, don't you? Lord, lead me to this rock. Don't leave me, Lord, to settle upon a false foundation. You see, we read, don't we, that the foolish man built his house upon the sand. There was no depth, no foundation. All right, dear friends, when the weather was good. But what happened when the rain came and the wind blew vehemently? Why, that religion comes to nothing, doesn't it? Comes to nothing, doesn't it? Because it blew vehemently and great was the fall of it. For there was no rock. There was no foundation. Now the wise man, the one that was given heavenly wisdom, built his house upon a rock. When the rains came and the wind blew vehemently, you know, it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now that's your religion, dear friends, if it's real. It's founded upon Christ. Nothing else can satisfy. It's what the Lord has given you and what you'll plead with Him to give you. Lord, give me a true token. Give me something that I can be persuaded comes down from heaven. Thou, Lord, hast said, I will not leave you comfortless. Now, you'll be very much discomforted in these trials, won't you? But trials make the promise sweet. Trials give new life to prayer. Trials bring us to His feet to lay us low and keep us there. You know, it's good to have some ballast, isn't it? Not your flesh doesn't like it, but faith will approve it well. Little ballast. You see, it makes us pray. It makes us cry. Lord, help me. Lord, I am oppressed. Under thou, take thou from me. Hezekiah had to be brought there, didn't he? With that affliction. And it was an all-wise purpose in it. Undertake thou for me. Committing all into the Lord's hand. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Cast, he said, on me thy care. 'Tis enough that I am nigh. I will all thy needs supply. I will all thy burdens bear. Oh, you know, what a mercy. He has promised to provide. May He teach me to resign. The two lines that were the commencement of my answering the invitation from Melbourne to come out here. He has promised to provide. And my mind says, how can He? How can it be? Teach me to resign, leave the flock at Staplehurst and venture to come out. But what a mercy, you know, that the Lord was in it. The Lord was in it. And it shall not be a burden upon your shoulder. Why? Because, you see, there's one that gives you strength equal to your day. One that has promised to provide. Oh, Lord, you say, I still at the ends of the earth at times, still wonder where the scene's going to end, but lead me to the rock. Because I believe I can say with the psalmist, thou hast been a shelter for me. Thou hast been my refuge and strength. Thou hast been better to me than all my fears and certainly my just deserts. But oh, it's that next trial that comes along, unexpected. That thing that suddenly arises in your life and when the devil roars, where is now your God? But we have to realize, don't we, that from Him cometh my salvation, from Him cometh my deliverance. When thou canst no deliverance see, you can't, can you? Sometimes as such darkness envelops your poor mind. But He has said, when this messenger from Satan buffets you as he did me yesterday, what does he say? Why, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And you know, why does he buffet us? Why, to prevent you and me getting exalted above measure. Oh, there's no exaltation, dear friends, in being a believer and certainly not being a preacher. Because the Lord knows how to deal with us, to keep us humbly supplicating the throne of divine grace for His help. You see, He is God and you and I are sinful men. And we have to pray daily, Lord, do undertake for me. Do lead me. Do keep my mind stayed upon Thee. For blessed is the man whose mind is stayed upon God. For his hope will be in His delivering mercies. So this is a great favour, isn't it? This rock of ages, from everlasting to everlasting. And you know His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness to His dear chosen people. And so your desires will be this. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. You know, and if the Lord applies that, you will put your trust in Him. Put not your trust in man, can you? But trust in the living God to undertake for you, to guide you, direct you, and you'll wait upon Him until He does perform these things for you. For they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Didn't we speak upon that on the Lord's day? They shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, walk and not faint from the end of the earth. Oh, what a mercy, you know, that nothing is hidden from this blessed Saviour Jesus. He may tarry often till you're ready to fight, but He does come. And our hope is built, isn't it, upon nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Lord, do give me something real. Do unstop my deaf ears. Do open my hearts to hear Thy voice, that I might truly have that faith to believe in Thee, trust in Thee, and prove yet that in spite of all my fears of these things going against me, that they're all working together for my soul's good. All things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Now the sheep of Christ, as we often say, will hear His voice in these things. Hear His voice. And it's committing their way unto Him. From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Or, you see, it's lifting up your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh your help, and acknowledging your help cometh from God, that made heaven and earth. What an almighty God He is. And oh, how, as we came up, we see the wonders of creation. But oh, there's a far greater work, isn't there? The wonders of redeeming love. That Jesus should redeem His sheep from the curse of the law. You know, we do need something to live and die on, don't we? Oh, that, oh, thou hideous monster sin, what a curse hast thou brought in all creation, groans through thee, pregnant cause of misery. And you know, there is some misery, isn't the earth, isn't there? All the terrible tragedies that take place. But when the Lord has a people, when He calls those people by His grace, He'll watch over them, protect, preserve, and keep them, and exercise them, and give them a desire, often faint and feeble, that they might know something of the truth as it is in Him. And so they commit their way. And you know, the life's minutest circumstance is subject to His eye. And there's nothing too small to pray for, is there? Nothing too small to pray for. Or nature and Satan might say to you, what, pray for that simple little thing like that? Ah, but you know, some of the blessed answers are in some of these simple things, aren't they? We see God's hand. He gives you faith to believe in these answers. You look on your circumstances, things seem to fall into place, and you see the Lord sends an answer and way made for you where there seemed to be no way. Oh, and it's all by reason of you at times being in such a state over things, sometimes a small thing. And when you come to face this and that problem, how you find that the Lord has helped you and calms your troubled breast and gives you grace to be still and know that He is God. Oh, what a God He is to go to. How He calms our troubled breast. And we would bless Him for it. Now from the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee. You know, you're not so far from God, are you, as you may feel to be tonight. You know, He is omnipresent, and He waits to be gracious. You haven't yet found Him, but I do humbly hope that you are still seeking Him. Seek Him with a whole heart. Seeking Him while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. For the Lord waits to be gracious. And when he does appear to you and for you, oh, sweet are these moments, and how very precious they are, when Jesus with his mighty love visits your troubled breast, your doubts subside, your fears remove, and you're completely blessed. You see, the blessing of the Lord, that makes you rich. You see, it is a great favour to feel this when the Lord draws near, comforts your heart, whispers unto you, peace be still, and there's a great calm. There's been turmoil before, hasn't there? But he makes the storm a calm in answer to your request, because he pours upon you in these troublous times. He pours upon you a spirit of grace and of supplication. He gives you eyes of faith to look upon him, and you see the object of faith, Jesus Christ, that chief cornerstone on whom you're building your hopes for eternity. And you know, while you're sojourning here below, oh, what a mercy to be given grace to walk in his fear. It's an unctuous light to all that's right, and a bar to all that's wrong. You see, there'll be a separation from the world, won't there? For he says, come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Ends of the earth, yes. No help in self, yes. Teaching of the Spirit, but brings you and me to the footstool of mercy. And you know his ear is not heavy that it cannot hear, neither his arm shortened that it cannot say. Your iniquities have separated you and me from a holy God, but you are made nigh by the blood of Christ, and that precious blood is that you and I will plead for and ask the Lord to give you that real repentance, godly sorrow for sin. Sanctify your trials and your afflictions, your sorrows, your griefs, and pray for deliverance, and look to him to encourage you, that you might prove that he that keepeth Israel neither slumbereth nor sleepeth. For the eye of the Lord is upon the righteous, and his ear is open unto their cry. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He leads his people forth by the right way. He leads them to that fountain, open for sin and uncleanness. He leads them to Calvary. And they see through the lattice of the gospel and feel that he is the one thing needful. For without him, we shall perish in our sins. What a solemn thing is eternity. But what a blessed mercy if in your fears of eternity, you feel your desires looking to Jesus and plead with him that he will yet favour you with deliverance. Whether he will favour you with a real living testimony. This is what you want, don't you? Something that you can speak of that the Lord has spoken to you of. Living testimonies. Now what the Lord has given you will never be taken from you. It may get beclouded, and you may be forgetful of it, but he'll bring it again to your remembrance by his Spirit. He has told us in his Word. For when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Now David had to prove that he had to go in the strength of the Lord and Lord alone. Nor how we shall have to go in the strength of the Lord continually. I know the eye of faith at times gets very dim. Very, very dim at times. And we wonder sometimes where the seam will end, because the Lord hides his face and we are troubled. But did Jesus once upon you shine, then Jesus is forever thine. Oh, may you and I know more of this blessed language, that by experience, that Jesus is forever thine. Because if he's begun that good work in you, and you may feel, and some of your younger friends may feel so very low in your feelings regarding religion, wonder sometimes, do I really know the Lord? Do I love the Lord? Do I want to love the Lord? All the questionings within a poor sinner. Well, dear friends, your heart's like mine, because we're no better after many years we trust in the way. But we do believe that the Lord will not give you those promises every day, but there'll be those things that you have to wait upon Him for. You see, and you'll ask for this, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, I would say a righteous seeking man, availeth much. And the Lord alone can give you a spirit of prayer and of supplication. And always when you feel your need of Him, when most we feel our need of Him, this friend is always near. With heaven and earth at His command, He waits to answer prayer. There's a set time to favour you with that reality of these visits from heaven. And though you get, as I say, very despairing at times and very cast down, well, the psalmist knew it. And there's much in the psalmist to encourage us, and his ins and outs and his ups and downs are very much, I believe, the pathway of pilgrims to heaven. And so he had to say this, that like as the hart panteth after the living water brook, so panteth my soul after the living God. When wilt thou come? You see, there's a waiting time. But though the vision tarry, wait for it, for in the end it shall speak and shall not lie. And so the psalmist says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him. There was faith there. He was at the uttermost ends of the earth oftentimes. But there was faith there to believe in Him. For a time He has set to heal up your woes, a season most fit His love to disclose. From the end of the earth will I cry to Thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Or may the Lord then in His sovereign mercy bless our few remarks tonight and forgive all amiss. Amen.